and to teach the greatness of God's word, me.
Yay!
We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, a very familiar verse. We're going to ask a lot of questions, and we're going to get a lot of answers. Everything's going to come from within this book. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15, very familiar scripture. The first word I know is a terrible word for many of you. It's the word study. And then you flip back to the days of, where you were supposed to, but you never did. But I'm sorry, this is a command. The word study, of course, we know is the Greek word spoudazon, which means put forth a diligent effort. Which is another thing when you go back to those days that many people probably didn't do either. Put forth a diligent effort. Study to show thyself approved unto God. All right, so that's why we want to do it. We want to study. We want to stand approved before God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So where are we going to find the word of truth? Oh, right here. We'll see that in greater detail shortly. But we're to study, put forth a diligent effort to show ourselves approved unto God as a workman. Now, many of you are in the workman fields, and when you get done, you want whoever it is who writes the check to be real thankful because your workmanship was really good. Not going, I can't wait to get rid of this person so I get a real workman in here. So we want to be workmen of the Word of God and not to be ashamed of it because we want to rightly divide this Word of truth that we hold in our hands. So I ask one question. Why? Let's go to the next page. 2 Timothy 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 16. Why? Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what you're holding, which is the scriptures, it came from God. Now it came in other languages and was translated into English, which is good, because I don't read Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew very fluently. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. We want to study this word and rightly divide it because it adds profit to our life. I don't know about you, but when I look at the checkbook, I want to see some profit in there. I don't want to see the other side of the ledger in there. You know? Okay. So, all scripture, this what we're handling in our hand, it's given by inspiration from God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. Right believing, right teaching. What is right? Sometimes people say things and you go, I'm not quite sure if that's right or not. Well, this is right. So that's good. This is profitable for doctrine, for right believing, for reproof. Not that we ever need reproof. This may be our children. But no, more than just that. So it's good for doctrine, how to do things properly. Reproof. Well, hey, you're not doing it right. And then it's good for correction to get us back to doing it right. So it can be profitable because we want a profitable life. And it's also good for instruction in righteousness or right living. Why? That the man or woman of God, that anybody who belongs to God can be perfect. All right, we're perfect. Well, no, sorry, wrong interpretation there. It's a Greek word that really means equipped. That we, as children of God, are equipped. It's a Greek word, artios. I keep trying to say the next word because furnace is thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and furnish is exartizo. So it's the same root word with just the prefix in front of it. So my mind kept going, exartizo. No, the other one. So what it says is all scripture came from God and it's profitable. We like profit for how to do things right, if we're doing things wrong, and then how to get back to it so that we can have proper instruction to this life. So that we can be equipped. What do we want to be thoroughly equipped for? All good works. For whatever it is that we're supposed to do. Whatever it is God needs us to do. And we'll get this one a little bit more. Because I have to ask the question, why? Why? Again. All right, well, let's go to John 17. We're going to spend some time in the Gospel of John. And then we'll bounce around and read Ezekiel backwards. All right, well, maybe not. John 17:17. So, this is pretty plain. The Word of God is profitable. The Word of God equips us. And it says here in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What we're, you know, everybody thinks they've got the truth. Well, here's the truth. And if we say what it says, rightly divided, then we have the truth. If we don't say what it says, do we have the truth? No. I don't care who says it. So, the Word of God is truth because it comes from God. And it was written down, as we saw earlier, came from inspiration of God. And it's profitable, and we like profit, so we didn't spend some time studying it, so we can have a more than abundant life, which we'll get to shortly. But the Word is truth. Now, the question I ask here is, because I've been asking questions today, what can truth do for you? Well, let's go to John 8. Let's go to John 8. And we have an answer to that. It's amazing what's all in this book. Okay, John 8:31. What can truth do for you? John 8:31. We read, then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him. So he's addressing Judeans who already heard and saw what he did, and they believed regarding him. And he then said, okay, if you continue in my word, if is conditional, something they were encouraged to do, if you continue in my word, which, by the way, is truth, then are you going to be my disciples indeed? And then you will know the truth. It's just not a one-time thing. It flashes through your body and it's gone. No, you got to continue into studying. That's why you see some of those other action verbs. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth. And knowing the truth is going to what? Make you free. So if you want true freedom, you got to know the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And this word is truth. And then you end up being free. Is free a good thing? Yeah, absolutely. Look at verse 36. Because if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you're going to be free indeed. So if we continue in the words of Jesus Christ, we end up with freedom. We get true freedom through what he did and what he accomplished. In fact, if we look at John 14, a couple pages over, we see why that's true. Because John 14:6 tells us, Jesus said unto him, anybody who's listening, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you want to get to the Father, you got to go through Jesus Christ, whose credentials are the right path. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. So, he would be why? He's the focal point of all of this. So if you continue in his words, since he's the truth, and the word is truth, then you'll have truth, and you end up being free. Because you won't be of this world. You'll be above this world. You have a lot better understanding of what's happening in this world because of understanding who the truth is. And who the life is. And he takes you to the Father. And you know what? God's going, come on in. Come on in. I want you here. Talk to me. I'm bored. John 14:12. Since we're in the neighborhood, we'll pick up one more verse. John 14:12. Yeah, it's right around the corner. Down the path, whatever. All right, now, so, verily, verily, he says unto you, he that believes on me, he that believes regarding me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, did Jesus Christ do some great, mighty, wonderful, incredible works? Yeah. Those are available today. Where are you going to find out about all that? How to do it? Well, in the book, in the truth book. All right? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's seated on God's right side, and he's there making intercession for us, it says. And there are other works that we can do because of his position where he's at today. So, let's go to John 6. I'm going to bounce around John a little bit here. Because it begs to ask us the question, well, we're supposed to do the works of God and greater works. Well, what's the great work? Well, how about this? In John 6:28, the apostles had the same doggone question. People have been asking it for years. Number one, what is truth? In fact, there was a whole academic movement back in the first century about what is truth. In fact, they think Pilate was a part of that because he asked Jesus Christ, what is truth? You know, that was kind of one of the thought patterns of that day and time that you read in the Jerusalem Gazette. But in John 6:28, then the apostles had a unique situation. Why don't we just ask Jesus? Wouldn't that be novel? He's here. Let's ask Jesus. All right. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? That's a great logical question. Right? Well, verse 29, here's the answer. Jesus answered and looked at them and said, this is the work of God. And they got their pencils and papers out and everything. They were ready to write this down. This recorded. This will be, you know. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they went, huh? That's it? This is the work of God. You believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, they were staring at Jesus, whom God had sent, for the purpose of being the Savior of the world. So we need to believe regarding him. They needed to believe regarding him. And that is the great work of God. Since he was the Savior. And still is. Okay. All right, let's go to 539. Try to keep all these together, different segments, and then pull them all together. John 539. Again, we got searching the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We're to study. We're to search the scriptures. Why? For in them you think you have eternal life, and I don't want to think about eternal life. I want to have eternal life. I want to know what that means. So search the scriptures. Because in them they think you have eternal life, and it's the scriptures which are they which testify of me. So he's telling them, search the scriptures, because you're going to find me in them, me being Jesus Christ. All right? And then he says, because I'm the way to the Father. So what is the great work? Believe regarding the Son, who came from the Father. Well, specifically, we'll get to that in a moment, but John 3, he was pretty clear as to what part of the scripture to believe. Here, a guy named Nicodemus is coming to visit him. He's a Pharisee. John 3, 1 through 3. He was one of the good Pharisees. There weren't many. We know of at least two in the Bible. Joseph of Arimathea, you know, and members of the council. And Nicodemus here. So, 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He was one of the rulers. He was part of the Sanhedrin of the Jews. He was part of Congress. The same came to Jesus by night. Don't want anybody to know I'm here. And he said unto him, you know, Rabbi, which means teacher, great teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? For no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. You know, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all kinds of incredible things. But this was early on in his ministry. And now here's Jesus' response to this. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I'm talking to you, Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's pretty clear. And Nicodemus went, huh? What? What are you talking about? All right, but here's the key. The word again is a Greek word, anothen, which means born from above. You are born of water the first time, which is, you know, the water broke. Let's go to the hospital. Right? That happened at 5:30 in the morning in Augusta, Georgia, 34 years ago. Anna Jessica came later that day. So, the water broke. That's the first birth. The second birth is from heaven. You're born from above. The Greek word anothen means above, from above. So, it's a spiritual birth with God as your Father. Except an individual be born from above, he's not going to see the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't write the book. That's pretty clear. For more, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, sorry, we're leaving John. We'll come back for one verse later. But in 1 Peter, towards the end of it, now this is Peter. He's kind of hung out with Jesus for a while. And then God inspired him to write the word, and he did. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. So this is 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. All right. So you must be born again. You must be born from above if you're going to see the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus wanted more clarifications, as did everybody else present. Because that didn't make any sense physically, but it does spiritually. So here it is again. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again being born from above. It's the same Greek word, anothen. Being born from above, a spiritual new birth. Being born a second time, again. Being born from above, not of a corruptible seed. Because as we look at ourselves, our bodies are corrupting because they're getting older. Or for other reasons. Anyway, I like to blame it on age. Okay. Being born from above, not of a corruptible seed, but you will be born again, born from above of an incorruptible seed by the word of God. By the way, this word of God lives and abides forever. Example, all flesh is as grass. You know, when you pick up a history book, and there's a lot of history in there about people who are no longer living. And what you can read about them is whoever won the wars. They wrote the good things in there, you know, because they were in charge. So, all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man as the flower of grass. And you know what happens? Grass withers. That used to be green out there. It's not green anymore, so Tom doesn't have to cut it anymore. So, the grass.
Three times enough.
Right. And he has a riding lawnmower. Or he had a son who's supposed to do it, but... Well, anyway, the grass withers.
Digress.
Exactly. It's an example everybody understands. They see it. Grass is green, it's good, wonderful season, and then it's gone. And that's human life is like that. All right. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but, however, a contrar, the word of the Lord endures forever, because it is true. So what we're reading in the Gospel of John, it's enduring forever. It's still true today. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto all of us. So, that's a good thing. Are there good things? Well, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. To this word of truth. To getting to know the Father. To understanding that Christ paid the price for all of mankind. Here's what we get. While we're still alive and we can read the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, pick up verse 2. Given to you today, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Grace and peace multiplied unto us? I would just take a little bit of dish and a little slice of it. But it's multiplied unto us. God's grace, God's peace, we can have that. We don't have to be distraught because, you know, they're turning my power off or whatever. It's always something. Grace and peace can be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where are we going to find all of that? Oh, look, we have a book that's truth about the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sounds like we should study it or maybe search it. All right. Grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So if you want more grace and if you want more peace to the point where it's being multiplied unto you, you got to learn more about God, the knowledge of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, because He's the way to the Father. According as His divine power has given unto you and 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 me. He gave it to all of us. God gave us exceeding great and precious promises. And it's not just because it's an election year. We are given exceeding great and precious promises. I would settle for a great promise or even a precious promise. That's not what's available. It's like the multiplication of peace and grace. We now have exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises? I like that. Actually, the Greek reads, the precious and greatest things promised have been given to us. Isn't that great? The precious and greatest things promised have been given to us. That's just a great translation from the Greek. That's how it should read. The greatest, you know, the most precious, the greatest things that have ever been promised are already ours. They've been given to us. So, be miserable in life. No! We don't have to be. We can enjoy this life. Why? Well, let's keep reading the verse. That by these, those precious promises, those exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Good thing that's not happening anymore.
All right.
No, it's continuing throughout the world and always will. So, I don't really want to participate in that. I'll take the other parts of it. I'll take life, godliness, peace, grace, all those other good things. I call those. All right, just as a reminder, look at 20 of this verse. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, sorry, I should have started with this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. It's not private or one's own interpretation. You read it and then change according to what it says. Because the prophecy, which is this word of God we're looking at, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This prophecy, and that's what the word of God is, this prophecy, it didn't come a couple guys sitting around a fire one night and go, I'll write the Bible. All right, how about this? A guy named Noah. Let me see. Great flood. Yeah, that's cool. You know, it didn't happen that way. God told holy men of God what to write, and they wrote by the Spirit. God who is Spirit, to their spirit, they wrote it down, and it got translated in English for us to read. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's pretty key. But first, before we get there, we've got to stop at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:8. Because we like grace being multiplied to us, we'll see why that's important. Grace 2:8. Ephesians 2:8, not Grace 2:8. Grace, are you 8 or 9? You're 9 now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're 9.
Grace 4.0.
Grace 4.0. Right. Actually, Ephesians 2:8. And we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith." You stop there and consider that. Because of grace that can be multiplied unto us, we can get salvation through believing about this grace, because we believe about Jesus Christ who brought the grace, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. You want salvation? You want to be saved? It's a gift from God, and it's by grace, not of works, verse 9 says, lest any man should boast. I was a bigger sinner than you. Or I was the most boringest person in the world. Doesn't matter. We're all dead in trespasses and sins. And you know, if you're dead, you're dead. Okay? So we don't boast because it's not our works. Because we're not the biggest, the baddest, the quickest, the whatever. We're thankful for the Christ and what he accomplished. So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. What was the work that Jesus said? Believe regarding me. There's your work. Okay? But we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, and that's the new birth, created in Christ Jesus, why? Unto good works. We will be doing good things because of what he accomplished. We have been ordained to do some good things. Well, let's finish the verse, it'll tell us that. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yeah, we have things to do, but it's not to help get us, you know, saved. It's not to get us born from above and all that. That means that work is believing regarding the Savior. Then, because of that, we have lots to do. Then we study. Then we do all the other things that are we're called and want to do. But it's grace. It's not our work. You know, Romans 10 kind of condenses it all for us. You know, Romans 10, 9, because in the end of the book of John, it says that for all the stuff Jesus Christ did, if they wrote everything down, there wouldn't be enough trees to make the books to write it all down. I paraphrase that. But there wouldn't be enough. They couldn't write it all down because there's so much. The world itself couldn't contain it. But in Romans 10, 9, specifically, what do we have to believe regarding Jesus Christ to get born from above, to get born again? Romans 10, 9, that if, here's the condition, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, all right, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. We're not Lord of our life anymore. He is Lord. And because he's Lord, we're ordained to do great things. And shalt believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Which is a wonderful thing. Here it is. Conditional. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Can you do it at the altar? I don't care. Can you do it quietly at your home? Can you do it in your car? Can you, oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay. That, whatever. Jesus is Lord. All right. That's what it says. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Okay? God raised Jesus from the dead. That's kind of, you know. Thou shalt be saved, delivered from the wrath to come. You have a ticket to fly when Christ comes back. And with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So specifically, that is what we're to do, and the end result is verse 11. Because this scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. You, if you confess and make Jesus Lord, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will not be disappointed in your expectations. Because that new spiritual body is going to be something. That's one great thing, eternal life. You are delivered from what's going to happen on earth, and it won't be pretty. All of that is because we believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, because he did the work of all works and redeemed mankind. So now we can enjoy, but the more we learn about him, the freer we get. And it's great to be free. Look at John, Gospel of John. I told you we'd go back there, so we will. John 10:10. John 10:10. The first part of this is dealing with the thief. Thief is spelled IRS. No, that's not the Greek word. This is an illustration. This is an illustration of the adversary and what his function is. The thief comes not. Here's his purpose. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you, take your physical life, and destroy you from having eternal life. So that's, you know, behind door number one. All right, he'll steal your time, your energy, your money, everything possible. That's what his job is. He's doing a very good job of doing that to the world. He comes not. His purpose is to steal everything from you, and if he can, he will take your physical life. He will kill you. And he wants, then the greatness of what he wants to do is destroy you, which is to keep you from getting born from above, born again, having eternal life, believing regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's tons of counterfeits out there, but it's very simple. That's what he wants to do. On the other half, second part of the verse, I being Jesus Christ am come, that you might have life. Remember, he was the life. He was the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Jesus Christ didn't come to bring Monday morning life. I gotta go to work, the weekend's over. No, not that kind of life. He came to bring us a spiritual life. I am come that you might have a spiritual life, a real life, and that you might have it more abundantly. A more abundant life is what Jesus Christ came to bring. By the way, we got grace and peace multiplied to us and a lot of other good things, like freedom, you know, stuff like that. Minor things. Okay. You know, the Apostle Paul's in chains in Rome, and he's going, I'm free as can be, because he understands the freedom he has in Christ. All right, so let's have life. Oh, it's available. So we should search the scriptures and learn more about it, because I really like a more than abundant or spiritual life. 1 Corinthians 12. Romans Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1. We read, since we want this more than abundant life, which is a spiritual life, which is a life of Jesus Christ at the center, God tells us in 12:1, 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, the word gifts is, in the King James Version, it's in italics, and basically that means it's added. A lot of times when they added words for whatever reason, sometimes for clarification, or what they thought it should be, they put it in italics to show it's, you know, it's added. But if you look at the Greek manuscript from which the King James was translated, it was translated from the Stephen's Greek text, but you can look at many of the other ones. Not, it's the word pneumatikon, which means spiritual matters or things pertaining to the spirit. So now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I don't want you ignorant. It's specifically laid out that when it comes to spiritual things, we're not to be ignorant of spiritual things. Okay, you go out into the mountains. Oh, we're in the Rocky Mountains. It's real easy here. And you look around and you see the greatness of God everywhere and how it all fits, but where do you see Jesus Christ? You don't. You're only going to find him here in the Word. So, you got to remember that. He's here. You know, this is where the explanation is. Now concerning spiritual matters, brother, and I would not have you ignorant. Then he goes down to verse 7, and he's going to talk about this more. When it comes to spiritual matters, but the manifestation or the evidence that you have the Spirit. When a person is born from above, they were body and soul, and now they receive Spirit. So now they've been upgraded, Patty, to human 3.0. They were 2.0. Body, soul, mental, and now they become, because of confessing with Jesus Christ as Lord, living God, raising from the dead, you're saved, you're delivered, you have received Spirit. And the proof that you have Spirit, the evidence, the manifestation that you have been given Spirit, which we're not to be ignorant of, it's given to everybody for profit. I like that profit word again. Remember the Word of God is given for profit? Well, the Spirit of God's given for profit also. We are upgraded humans, 3.0, body, soul, and spirit. God is spirit. God talks to God is spirit, talks to your spirit. Your spirit teaches your mind. You act. Inspired action, inspired utterance, and other things, knowledge and stuff that we need. More here, which we are to search diligently about. So, the evidence that you have received the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every single person for profit. To profit with everybody. 4-2-1. And some people say, oh, you got only one of these. No. 4-2-1 what? Profit. That's the closest associated noun. If you want to get into the syntax of the, you know, I'm sure all of you did really well in grammar. So, 4-2-1. One of the profits is given by the Spirit, that one Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. But it's the same Spirit. You have one Spirit. You are showing the fact that you have the Spirit by operating the manifestation or evidence. Knowledge is what's going on, and wisdom is how to go about the information once you learn it. And sometimes it's just keep your mouth shut. That's the wisdom. That's many times in life.
yeah.
You know? Yes. Okay, so knowledge and wisdom are two of the profits of having the Spirit. What are other ones? Well, let's keep reading. To another... Another of the prophet is faith or believing, but it's the same Spirit. Another one is gifts of healing. That's the same Spirit. Jesus Christ healed, healing is available. To another, it's the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Another prophet is discerning of spirits. To another, kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all nine of these work that one and self same Spirit. One Spirit, nine evidences you've got that one Spirit. And it happens as you will to operate it. It won't take you over and operate on its own. While we're sitting here, our cars are not driving around the neighborhood having a good time. No, they're sitting there. Nothing happens until we get in and turn the key. And then we operate them properly. So that's what we're supposed to do anyway. Okay, so same thing when it comes to the Spirit. All works the one and self-same Spirit. Same Spirit, nine different evidences of the one Spirit as the individual wills to believe and operates them as they're taught or want to learn more or as God gives them information and all of the above, these nine. Now, 2 Corinthians 1, just a couple pages over. In conclusion, or almost in conclusion, the concluding verse will be next. But another great thing about the Word of God, about having Jesus Christ, about being free, is in 2 Corinthians 1. And we look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be God. Okay. How does God get blessed? Keep reading. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is also the Father of mercies. Well, I like that for Heavenly Father. Heavy on the mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We want more mercy. Okay? Grace and mercy are two wonderful things to have. So this is the Father of mercies. He's also the God of all punishment. The God of all comfort. He's the God of all encouragement. He's the God of all compassion. Isn't this the type of Heavenly Father you want? He's heavy on mercy, and he will help comfort you. He will help encourage you. He'll be a compassionate God, a compassionate Father. Yes. And he comforts all of us in all our tribulation, in all our affliction, no matter what we're going through in life. God comforts us. He encourages us. He is compassionate towards us in all. Does that mean we're going to have only... Can't we have a limit on our tribulation and afflictions? Nope, sorry. They're there while we're alive. So, He comforts us, though. He gives us the encouragement we need in all of our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort or encourage them which are in any trouble. How by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God encourages, comforts, is a compassionate God to us, so we in turn can help others. That's what we are to do. And because afflictions keep coming. That's why we have lots of prayers. lots of life situations. So, that God of comfort, that God of encouragement, that God of compassion is our Father. He encourages us so we can help others. That's all part of the work we can do because we want to love, we want to be like Christ. So we close, like I said, we were going to in the Bible. Proverbs 3. Another familiar scripture. Sorry that all of these were scriptures you probably have never heard before. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 is where we're going to close. So, what should we do? Because I'm asking lots of questions. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in yourself.
No.
Oh, God, that's what you don't want to do. Trust in the Lord. The word trust here is the word for confide. Confide in the Lord. He's everywhere. You can talk to him all the time. And he wants to hear from his children. He doesn't hang up on us. You know, the cell phone reception is always good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. You know it all. Do you even know half of it? Do you even know 1,000,000th? No. So why should we think we got all the answers? We don't. If you think you do, ask your wife. Okay. Confide in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding in all your ways. As you go through life, you acknowledge him. And as you acknowledge him, he's going to direct your path. He's going to show you the straight way. Lots of paths out there. What's the right path? Well, you trust him. You don't try to figure it all out yourself. You know, see what the word has to say. You're confident that God will work in you. And then what happens? Hey, look, the right path. Hey, the right path. Ooh, that wasn't the right path. I must have gotten away. Exactly. A lot of oops in there. And we bring those afflictions on ourselves because of the oops, right? All right. Well, I'm glad none of us is perfect because verse 7 says, don't be a wise guy. Be not wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we're going to want to fear the Lord. We're going to want the truth. We want to be free. We want to have compassion. We want to be comforted. We want exceeding grace, exceeding peace. Those are all great things. Where are you going to find it all? Hey, right here. So we study, we search, we enjoy, and we have a great day, a more than abundant life. So, Father, thank you for your word, your grace, and your mercy, and everything else you've done for us, and how we can continue to, we have this, we can pick it up, and we just continue to just have truth all the time. And then we can live that more abundant life and do the work you've called us to do, and we let others know about the Son, or what he accomplished in our behalf. We're grateful to be here. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.